Welcome to the Prairie Producers Podcast. At Prairie Producers, we grow and process industrial hemp fiber into user-specified sizes, feeding American-grown hemp fiber back into the American supply chain. As the very first hemp fiber processor in the state of Minnesota, our goal is to provide hemp-related information and education. My name is Nicole Johnson. I am your host and business manager at Prairie Producers. Today's interview with Aaron Rydell is both exciting and eye-opening. I met Aaron at a recent Ag Expo. I fell in love with their products and instantly asked if they would be interested in sharing their hemp story. Of course, they said yes. Aaron is an enthusiastic hemp farmer and business owner in Colorado. He has been growing hemp and expanding his knowledge and experience in the industry since 2014. At Salt Creek Hemp Company, their goal is to provide a quality product for the unlimited applications of this plant through sustainable and organic cultivation of industrial hemp. At Hemp Home Styles, their mission is to change the way hemp is viewed, to change how our planet looks, and to change the future for farmers. Their products are made using recycled and sustainable materials, utilizing a local supply chain to bring their customers products that do more than look beautiful. Everything they create is designed to change perspectives. As you listen, you will hear how passionate Aaron is about the future of the industrial hemp industry. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for joining me. So let's start with an introduction of yourself, introduction of Salt Creek Hemp, and you know every other kind of the niches that you have. Just explain who you are and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, well, that would be a series of bad decisions, but Aaron Rydell with Salt Creek Hemp Co. Been growing hemp for 6 years now. This would be seventh season. Got started actually growing hemp thinking I'd be making the hemp-engineered products that I'm doing right now, but it turned out at the time there was no market, so we ended up growing CBD products and other farmers grow hemp, only because we had a little more experience than most, which wasn't much. We actually grew our first crop in 2014.
Okay. So you're ahead of many people. And where are you located, and where did this all start?
We started in Colorado, a little town called Colbrand, Colorado. Nobody's ever heard of it, nestled in at the base of the Grand Mesa. Really beautiful little valley with really the only thing they had going on was gas and oil and cows. And so we were actually excited, too, when we initially started to give farmers out there another option.
Mm-hmm.
Those markets, gas and oil fluctuates a lot. People lose their jobs. They all get laid off. Cattle prices have been in the toilet for 3 years, 4 years plus. So we just thought we could add something else to the mix out there.
Got it. And it's been kind of an uphill success, story of success ever since?
Definitely a lot of uphill.
Yeah, I believe it.
When we say that we've been doing it a little bit longer, that just means we've had a chance to make more mistakes than everybody else.
Yep, I get it.
And, nothing with this whole industry has been like straightforward, if you will. Every time you think you figured something out, you kind of get blindsided a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we've been there.
Yeah, and even just little things like banking. Mm-hmm. You know, you think you got your credit card processing figured out for your product line, and all of a sudden the bank calls and they're like, hey, well, you guys grow hemp. We can't process your credit card payments. Like, really?
Wow. And I suppose it happens fast. It's just like that. I mean, you kind of
You have to be ready. For example, I've been doing banking with a large bank for a long time. They offered merchant services to us. We didn't even ask for it. Oh, okay, yeah, let's do that. That makes sense. It streamlines everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it for 90 days, and they're like, well, wait a second. You guys grow hemp. We can't do that for you anymore.
Oh, no.
Okay. Back to square we go.
Well, at least there's options. I mean, the options are probably limited, but at least they're there, right?
You just gotta weed your way through it all.
Exactly. So you explain a little bit more. So you're growing, and then do you sell your product to someone who processes, and then they, you know, sell it back to you, and you then have a retail side, or what exactly, I guess, are you doing on your end?
So the process for our CBD product is we do everything up to harvest and chucking. From that point, we've got large super sacks with material in it that we take to our extractor locally. And they go through their magic and turn that into the crude oil that goes into our products. The neat part about what we're doing is it's actually all done in the county. We're keeping that business local.
Awesome.
So right from the extractor, it goes right over to our GMP bottling facility that'll make our capsules and our tinctures, et cetera. Our topicals get done actually over in Denver, but we try to keep it all local and keep the business, you know, at home.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So where you're at right now is that, do you have like a storefront that you keep, you know, everything for your local, any local customers can walk in? I know you have an online store as well. But what does that presence look like?
So we're online. We are in multiple retail locations around the country.
Awesome.
And locally in the valley, it's my town's tiny. I mean, if you blink when you're driving through it, you're gonna miss it. So we do have a couple little stores. Like there's a store called the Harvest House that has local produced food, vegetables, knickknacks and stuff. So they carry our product locally. Even ironically, the liquor store carries our product because one of the only other stores in the valley. So, but actually, the locals do quite well with it. We have a really strong following in that valley of people that have experienced, success with our products. So we make it available. And we do have a shop where we do our bottling and shipping and all that. And people do knock on the door and stop in. Hey, man, can I get a bottle of that stuff? Yep. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's not really a brick and mortar storefront though. It would be difficult to keep 9 to 5 hours in a town of 500 people.
Yeah, I get it. So you're actually the first person that I've interviewed that sells CBD. So just to kind of take us all back, in case anyone is wondering, what's the difference between CBD and marijuana?
Ooh, that's a great question. Well, the major difference would be that THC in the marijuana is what will get you high or give you a euphoric feeling. It's the thing that's been, I would say bastardized over the years, because it's really not necessarily a bad thing, but it's why marijuana is illegal. CBD is another constituent of a cannabis plant. There's actually over 100 constituents. There's THC, there's CBD, there's CBC, there's CBG, there's CBN. You'll start hearing a little more about CBG and CBN as we move forward. That's the next two constituents that they're finding that have uses in the plant. So the CBD that's in our hemp plants versus the THC in the marijuana plants is more of a, number one, it doesn't give you a buzz of any kind as far as a euphoric feeling, other than you might be a little bit free of pain, so you might be euphoric from that. So this CBD works with receptors in our body. Our body actually has an endocannabinoid system that works with these plants. The CBD goes to our CBD1 receptors, and it can actually alleviate things like a lot of people have arthritic pain that take our stuff, and what we're doing is we're not masking that pain, we're actually eliminating that pain. A Tylenol actually just kind of covers up pain receptors and allows you to continue on, but the problem is still there. You're just covering it so you can move on and do your day. Whereas the neat part with the cannabinoids that we're seeing, and of course I can't make any medical claims, I can only speak to the experience and the positive experiences that our customers have had. But so these receptors work with this CBD. And when your hands don't hurt after you rub a topical on, it's because the pain is no longer there. The inflammation has been alleviated. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a neat aspect about it, I think. That, and I'm also not a big fan of popping Tylenol on a leave all day long anyway. So if we can use something natural to help our bodies, why wouldn't we do it, right?
I agree. Yeah, exactly. So what are some of the different products? You talk about topicals, obviously your tinctures, soft gels. When I actually met you guys at the Iowa Ag Show, I had gotten some of the hair pomade, and that's amazing. So I feel like, you know, whether you have something like an ailment or... Did you say you use it in your beard?
Yeah, the pomade?
Yeah. Perfect. But so, you know, if you have like something from arthritis to just an everyday, you know, styling product. So maybe kind of touch base on that too. Did I miss any other products or maybe what are the popular things?
I'll just kind of run through from how we started. Tinctures seem to be a very popular method of delivery. It has some advantages. It goes into your system a little bit quicker because you're putting it underneath your tongue and it's getting in rapidly. Most people don't like the taste of it though. I don't admit it. It just has kind of an earthy, natural taste to it. So that's where we actually, our first product was caps, soft gel capsules with 25 milligrams of CBD. We like those because you always get that 25 milligrams. It's in every capsule with a tincture. You've got a dropper, you maybe got a half a dropper, you got 3/4 of a dropper. What was that dosage that you just took? So we do soft gel capsules. Lots of different success with that. We do have a tincture line, 500,000 milligrams. Those are, again, like I said, you totally effective way to take it as well. Those would be our ingestible products, those two products, the tinctures and the soft gels. From there, we move to our, we actually have another strength since I met you in Iowa. We've got three different strengths of what I call a salve. Works great on localized things, sore knee, sore shoulder, something after you just did a sport or something like that. And our strongest one that we just came out with, the double extra strength, is 4,000 milligrams in a tin. It packs a pretty big punch. I like to call those the 5-minute salve because if somebody's got an issue, they usually stop by the booth at the show, rub it on, and 5 minutes later, they're back buying the tin of the salve.
Wow. So, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun to see that at the shows. Obviously, with COVID, we can't do as much of the sampling now, but it's been really fun over the years to watch people get relief that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just did a few different products just for basic health and beauty, if you will. A skin cream, a hand cream. We even have a face mask that actually quite a few ladies have commented that they really like the face masks. It's got a little CBD in it. They put it on their face and awesome. They say it feels really good and helps their skin.
Cool.
So, and then, yeah, the pomade that you mentioned, you mm-hmm. know, I use that in my hair and stuff. Is your hair going to be happier? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but yeah, it's just basic products just to get it out there to people and get it in their hands.
Yeah. And I think like you said, really people in general are looking more towards natural products. So I'm going to kind of flip it now. So I want to talk about the clothing line, your hemp home styles. Again, at the show, I bought one of the pencil container or, you know, the smaller pencil box. There you go. That's the word. you know, we grow for fiber. So that's something that I can show to people and say, you know, this came from hemp stock. Isn't it amazing? And
so one thing we try to do with people is, I guess when we first signed up to be hemp farmers, we didn't realize it, but you become an advocate for the industry because it's so misunderstood and it has a lot of stigma from the past. So one thing we've tried to do, and that's actually where the clothing and the hemp manufactured products has come from, is let's put this stuff in people's hands. Let's show them that it's not the devil's lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's do tangible things because there are so many uses for this material. It used to be a staple in our society up until we decided to put it on the shelf in the 30s. So when we started doing booths at shows and stuff, we had our topical line, we had our ingestible products, but we started bringing like the backpacks from hemp bags in Nepal, the socks from these great little company here in the United States. We try to incorporate as many of these products as we could into our booth to show people that hemp is not just CBD, not just rope. There is 30,000 uses. So yeah, we incorporated the clothing and the backpacks and the textiles. Those all come from other manufacturers. That's just something we buy and spruce up the booth with. And then there's the hemp engineered manufactured products that we brought to Des Moines. That was actually our first show with those products. Like I said, that's what I originally thought I'd be doing when I first planted hemp. I was like, oh yeah, we're gonna make lumber or rope or something cool with it. And CBD's great and all, but we ended up, we finally 7 years later got into the realm of using lumber to make these products and show people we can make even more stuff with hemp and for your home and you can put your hands on. I mean, that's the thing, is it's tangible now that you can show people that box and say, hey, yeah, this came from hemp.
Exactly.
This is from the stocks. Wow, I didn't know you could do that. So yeah, we're really excited about that aspect of the NoCo Expo we just did out here in Colorado. I don't want to say we were a complete smash at the show, but I want to say there was a lot of people talking about it.
I believe it.
I was even up front at one point, and I was at a booth talking to a friend, and I was way away from my booth on the show, and there's like a group of 10 people standing there, and one of the people was like, oh my gosh, you've got to see this booth way at the back there. These guys, they got coffee tables made out of hemp. And that was kind of a really neat thing to hear, was just the feedback and the excitement over what we were doing there. Because, yeah, it was a significant booth. Mm-hmm. We were showing them shiplap, larger construction materials, trim, and multiple different coffee tables and wall units with shelves, all kinds of things that people were just like, wow, you can do this with hemp. And they're like, yep, we can. That's no amazing. Trees were killed making this display.
That's amazing. And some of the things that stood out to me that I'll just throw out there at the show when I had seen you guys, you had things as small and as detailed as like utensils and the outlet covers, and as I was looking through it, I was like, you could literally live off of this. I mean, everything in your home could eventually be replaced with hemp, and that's amazing.
Yeah, if it's not glass or metal, basically. Mm-hmm. Anything else,
right? Yeah, exactly. Probably not everything, but many things. So explain that process then. Are you, again, is that something that's manufactured locally, or what does that look like?
I hope in the future there will actually be multiple hemp lumber manufacturing facilities all around the country as we start to catch up and start growing enough fiber. Right now, the product is actually manufactured in Kentucky. As far as we get what I would call a hemp log, it's about 5.5 inches by 5.5 inches and 52 inches long. It's compressed hemp stock and soy-based resin. That's all that's in there. My friend Greg at Hempwood in Kentucky produces those. We buy them by the truckload, and from there, we have the saws and the machinery to turn them into the home goods and the things that you see. We were actually even just talking last night. Greg's out here in Denver from the show, and we're already talking about franchising and having another facility out here that would produce the logs, because he is so far away and there is fiber out here. That process is already, the wheels are already turning on that, as far as we can put these up all over the country and supply different vendors with this lumber.
So right as of right now, you're not growing for fiber, you're strictly growing for CBD?
Correct.
Okay.
I actually experimented back in 2016. I did what I'd call a tri-crop.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can catch the flower for the CBD, you can put the seeds in the bin on the combine, and then you can actually come back later and cut the fiber down and bale it and send it off to the mill. Unfortunately, that year it failed at 0.4. The limit's 0.3.
Oh, no.
So it was a little bit of a failed experiment on that aspect, but actually it was very successful in the fact that we were still allowed to use the machinery to prove the concept, and it did work. We did put the flower in the bin out back, built a cart for behind my combine. It was hilarious, but it worked. Yeah, and I would do that back when, I mean, people were like, you're going to drive a combine into a field of hemp? Are you insane? And it's like, how else do you pull down 20 acres of hemp when it's just one guy?
Well, nice work. And so the variety that you planted actually produced pretty good crop for all three purposes.
Yeah, if it would have just passed.
Right. Well, that's amazing, though. Like you said, I mean, it was failed in one aspect, but a very good experiment to do, I would say.
Yeah, it was a tough one to swallow. That was a valuable crop, and to know that you failed by a tenth of a percent is ridiculous. Seems like a good word.
I get it. So talk about the quality of the hemp in the home products. Is it more durable, would you say, than wood? Does it last longer? Any antimicrobial properties, things like that. What's the difference?
So the neat part is, number one, we're not killing trees, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's a renewable crop that we can, some areas we can even do two crops a year, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be saving a little bit on the lumber, which I don't know if you've bought any lumber lately, but the prices are ridiculous. You know, it's nice to have an alternative in that aspect. As far as durability, everything depends on how you handle it. There's coatings and things that we have to use to basically seal the hemp so it doesn't get moisture in it.
Mm-hmm.
This, keep in mind, this is version 1.0 with this lumber. This is the first hemp lumber of its kind, so there are some issues with it, minor issues, and nothing that affects the products that we're making. I mean, that's why we're not making structural 2x4s and such at the moment, is the product we're dealing with just doesn't lend itself to that. However, version 2.0 very well could. But right now, with what we're working with, we can do these great home goods. There's really zero issue with quality. We've got the, so like I said, the soy-based resin with hemp, so it's about as green of a material as you could ask for. And then, yeah, basically, depending on what it's going to be used for, like if it's a coffee table, yeah, there's some coatings we have to put on it to really seal it up. But once it's sealed up like that, you know, we've got a pretty robust product. It's something that could, definitely should last for quite some time.
Awesome. And would you say right now everything is pretty much like made customizable? So someone wants to order something, they would contact you, you know, they're looking for a coffee table, certain dimensions, etc. When I looked at all of the products you guys had, it's like nothing is, you can't make the same thing because the stocks aren't, you know, they're all so different. So I guess going back to that question, then everything's customized, I assume, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, as far as sizes, we can definitely reproduce multiple tables of the right. same size. But as mm-hmm. you mentioned, much like lumber, the graining, the look, everything's going to be a little bit different. But that's what's kind of cool. Every piece is unique. We did a set of coffee tables, or a coffee table and an end table for this last show, with a sinker pine base, and just really, really sharp looking set. And a gentleman, just, he couldn't not have it. Came back to the booth like three times, and third time we did a little haggling, and you know, I was so proud to see the look on this guy's face as we were loading it up into his uh-huh. truck. He's like, I have the first hemp coffee table in Denver, Colorado. You know, he was having that's a party awesome. That night.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, a party for his new table.
It's a reason to celebrate.
So yeah, awesome. We can do, I mean, in a lot of the products that we produce and bring to the shows are just, we're sitting in the shop and we're like, hey, let's build coasters for this show because mm-hmm. people mention coasters or wine corks or all these, it's just to get people's hands on it. A lot of what we do is custom.
Sure.
This last show, we actually did a bunch of signs for the show for other vendors. We did a couple booth displays. We even did some computer tables for the main event, the NOCO event. They needed some point of sale tables and carts, so we did all that in the hemp and burned their logos into it really nice. So yeah, right now there's a lot of custom work. We do have a website. There's some basic items like our mirror frames. We've got a three-tier shelving unit, a magnetic knife block, and a Lazy Susan. You can pretty much get those anytime, and the only difference is the cuts, the rift or the phase cut, because there's a little bit of a different look there. But so we'll expand on those everyday products, but at the moment it's just those four, and then a whole lot of custom work. Yeah, like this last show just generated, I don't even know how many leads on the custom work, but a lot. We're going to be very busy. We need a bigger
job. That's that's a good thing. That's a good problem to have.
I'm really excited about it. Actually, all these shows, we did the Lincoln show right after Des Moines. The feedback from the farmers has been so cool because they pick something up and they're sitting there touching. They're like, mm-hmm. wait a second, I can go with him, but we can make this. And it's like, yeah, we can.
I suppose, yeah, for them to see the end product, that's rewarding.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Well, is there anything I didn't ask? I know we touched kind of on a really wide, you know, spectrum, but is anything that maybe throughout the shows you get asked a lot that we haven't talked about?
I think the only thing that's always funny is when everybody walks up to the booth and they're like, can we smoke it?
Well,
so we haven't totally erased the stigma yet, but no, I think you've done a great job of jumping around to a lot of different things. We do have the CBD aspect. Now we've got this grain and fiber aspect that's coming out. And you're really going to see an explosion there, I think, in the next couple of years. The building materials, the textiles, products like we're making, the wood flooring, that's really where hemp is going to be a green alternative for a lot of people.
Exactly.
Not missing CBD. Love our CBD. I take my CBD every day. But there's a lot more uses for this plant.
That's amazing. So where can our listeners find you?
Well, we have our CBD products on saltcreekhemp.com.
Okay.
We have our manufactured home goods under hemphomestyles.com.
Perfect. And I will throw out, I was actually looking at your Facebook page, and you guys throw out promos and things like that. So that's, you know, awesome if people follow along. You guys seem to do a really good job displaying your products, but then also giving people an opportunity to maybe get a discount if they haven't tried it before.
That's one thing that's been problematic with CBD is the price of the oil keeps going down, but the products, people haven't really followed that, and we believe everybody should be able to have access to this. So we keep an eye on the pricing in the market, and we drop our prices as quick as we can so that everybody can stay in the CBD. I mean, I couldn't believe it, actually. A gentleman not too long ago who'd been taking our products, like, hey, I was short on money, so I stopped taking your products, and boy, I was in pain, and I was like, please contact us next time. We'll figure something out, right?
And that's good, exactly like you said. I mean, I think people can find so many uses out of it that everybody deserves an opportunity to try it. I love it.
Yeah, it's very real.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Well, thank you, Aaron. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak about it.
Of course.
Well, if there's anything else you need or if there's anything we need to chat about, feel free, please, to reach out anytime.
Okay.
Really enjoy talking about hemp, as you can tell. So.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, sir.
Awesome. Okay, take care.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Prairie Producers Podcast. You can find us on our website at prairieproco.com, on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. You can also contact us directly at nicole@prairieproco.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we hope you continue to follow us on this journey of reconnecting hemp fiber and agriculture.